Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. My name is Gemma, and this week I have with me again two of Pure Nintendo's greatest members. I have Trev. Welcome back, Trev.
Hey, thanks for having me. Always glad to be here.
Hope you're feeling all right. I know you were a little under the weather this week, so hopefully you're ready for some talking today.
I think so.
Good. And with me again, I have Kirk. Thank you for joining us again, Kirk.
Sure. I needed a break from Zelda, so this will suffice.
Excellent. And I was thinking, Kirk, of something you said a few weeks ago. I think it was in relation to Xenoblade Chronicles 3, when I said, sorry, you've got to do more work by writing a review of the DLC. And you're like, it's not work when it's something like this. And I was thinking about, you know, talking about Zelda on the podcast, you know, and playing Zelda to ensure I have something to talk about the podcast. It could be classified as work, but it's just way too much fun. So it's not work. It's just like, this has been a good week. So
yes, we've agreed.
So let's kick things off this week. We're going to primarily be talking about Tears of the Kingdom again. We've had another week with the game, so we've got to spend a lot more time in Hyrule. And we're going to talk about our thoughts and feelings so far, what we've liked, anything we haven't liked, how far we've got into it. We'll try to avoid any major spoilers for listeners. So, Kirk, let's start with you. How far into it are we after another week in real life?
Let's say we're talking hours. I would say somewhere between 25 to 30.
Cool.
I don't have the exact time down. I'm sure it's more than it seems like because, like, I feel like I haven't done a whole lot. I know the whole setup is there specifically to distract you. Because anytime you're going anywhere, there's something that catches the corner of your eye. And I'll go, oh, well, got to go take care of that. Got to go put up another sign for President Hudson.
Oh, my gosh. I just found him, actually. Oh, I just found that sign guy.
You just found him?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what? Did you find him right at the start?
20 minutes into the game, I think, when I first met the guy working for President Hudson. What a poor – I mean, I feel so bad for that fella.
No, I don't know why. I just saw him walking. I was wandering around trying to get to my first geoglyph, and there was someone putting up a sign. I mean, I've seen these little batches of usable materials to fuse or to Ultra Hand, whatever, to attach and build things. And I just went and had a little chat with him, and he's freaking out about the president. Like, what is going on over here? So, yeah, that's interesting. And I am about 20 hours in, so I'm a little bit less than you and feel very similarly in that I haven't done a lot. Like, I have done a lot. I've done 20 hours worth of things in this game, like almost a whole day of real life I've spent in this world. But I'm nowhere near the end. And I've just been doing shrines and collecting seeds when I found them. I made the mistake of wandering around aimlessly and looking for shrines and other things from the very, very beginning and not going to the lookout and getting the glider and continuing the story. So I ended up doing quite a few shrines initially, and then I went to a shrine somewhere randomly. I think it was over near, I don't even know where it was. And you needed the glider to complete the shrine. And I'm like, how do I do this? I can't get to the thing. And so I actually Googled it and like, yeah, you need the glider for this one. I'm like, dang it. I obviously should have, followed that yellow dot at the start. So I went back and did that the correct way. So now I have the glider. It's much easier. Trev, I think you beat both of us in terms of time spent in Hyrule. What's your hour?
Well, right. Technically speaking, I have, because, of course, it doesn't tell you. We've only been playing it a week, and you have to wait, like, I think 10 days before they give you time. So I sorted my game list by time most played, and I just clicked the game next to it. And based on that, I'd say it's about 60 hours. But I was sick for the early part of the week, which was bad for everyday life, but good for Zelda. And then my wife caught it. So probably more than half that time is her. So, if you figure that in, I'm probably comparable to maybe Kirk at 25 hours or so.
Wow.
But I'm also similar to you, Gemma, in that I did not go to Lookout Landing at the start.
Mm-hmm.
I was distracted and running around and finding shrines and finding towers. And, of course, I'm like, how do we activate these towers? And after finding probably three or four towers, I'm like, you know what? We got to find Pura, however you say her name.
Yeah. Yep.
And then I finally went to Lookout Landing after we probably already double digits in for time. And then, you know, you get the paraglider and it's like, wow, I really missed that. I don't know how I made this much progress without it.
Yeah, it really changed things, honestly. And I even went to see, in Hyrule Castle, you have to go, so you go and see Pyra, whatever her name is, and then you get sent to, is it Captain Haz, I think, or something like that, in Hyrule Castle? Mm-hmm. You know, he's like right at the end. And I had done that already. I randomly just went into Hyrule Castle and found him and said hello. And then I had to go back, and he actually mentioned Pyra. He's like, oh, you probably need to talk to Pyra. I'm like, oh, whatever. Wow. I'm going to do this. But then when I went to Lookout Landing and then she said, go see Captain Haz, I'm like, I've already said hello to Captain Haz. So I had to go back to him again and then back to Pyra. So I had to do that a few times. Anyway, that's okay.
It's funny how you can do things out of order. I had a similar experience in the Zora region. I don't know how much you guys have done there, I talked to a character, but I guess I was meant to talk to another character first. So then when I talked to that character, they're like, oh, you should go back and talk to so-and-so, even though they really didn't have anything new to say, but it was like the trigger for the plot. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll run back.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. So it's interesting because it is so open world based that you can just go anywhere. And I mean, yeah, there's a few restrictions in that I had to see certain people, or paraglider obviously hampers your style a little bit. And even after you go to Lookout Landing and she shoots you up, a Pyra shoots you up into the sky where you can take the photo of the map, and it's much more detailed after that. And obviously that's now what we've got to do, is go around and do that at several other places. It just makes it so much bigger and more detailed. It opens it up a lot. So if you're just starting out, please go to Lookout Landing first. Yeah, don't do what I did. Or Trove, yeah. But I mean, I'm having a lot of fun, and I want to talk about our, you know, impressions now that we've had time with it. And I know there's a few mostly positive, but a bit of mixed reactions online. But let's talk about some of our favorite moments or interesting discoveries that we've encountered. Kirk, do you want to start? Do you have anything in mind that you've come across that you would like to share?
Yeah, I think the encounter that probably left the biggest impression on me, mainly because I believe I was in over my head, but kept charging forward anyway. I when I went up to the peninsula, from the first one, there was a fellow who started talking to me from underground and said I had to get these four eyes and throw them into the abyss from these locations, and then collect the eyes underground and take them to him. Now, I haven't been able to do that yet because the underground, it was so vast. Like, the cavern that I was in was huge, and I didn't expect it to be like that. I thought it was just going to be like, you know, like a standard cave, like, let's say the roof or the ceiling, we'll say, is 20 feet above me. But no, this was huge. and there were these like roller coaster tracks. And I ended up putting a cart on a roller coaster, and at first I attached a rocket, thinking I was going to need that to get up a hill, and it just shot me clean off the tracks. So, you know, it's a good lesson. It seems like a good lesson for Zelda, but it's a good lesson for life in general. No rockets on roller coaster cars. I took a couple fans and put those on, and that did the trick. But then it took me up to this level. And I won't go into too much detail here. I met somebody I wasn't expecting to meet. And it was funny, and there was a good fight afterwards. But then it gave me the ability to anything that I had previously built, I could rebuild on command. Ooh. So I didn't have to manually put things together anymore. If I build it once and the materials are there, I just hit a button and it rebuilds it.
Oh, that's so cool. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, exactly. One of my favorite moments, because now I don't have to fiddle about with the ability to pick things up and move them around and the back and forth and the up and down, which gets so cumbersome anyway. Then you can also, it's like you could find recipes where they'll give you, say, oh, here's something, try building this. And now it's like I've got instructions for a Lego kit and I don't have to come up with it myself. Someone already came up with something better and I just get to build that without having to put any thought into it. So finding that, awesome. I think, was the biggest aha, now I'm ready to go moment.
That is cool. I'm going to have to seek that out. That is awesome. Wow. Okay. I love that. No, I have not encountered this person. Is it one of the chasms, or it's not one of those dark, those malice laced chasms? It's more of a cavern.
Yeah, it's one. Well, there are like it when you get the quest, it gives you four chasms on the peninsula. We're talking about the same thing that you have to throw them into, and then then you can go into any of them really. And I don't know if it's better to throw one eyeball in, jump in that hole, then move it where it needs to go, and then come back out. I ran around and threw all four eyeballs into the holes. So they're all underground waiting for me. And then you just jump down into one of them, and then you end up in the underground and start to try to find your way about.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's our mission for this week, Trev.
Oh, and you'll also
attach the eyeballs to an arrow and shoot them down the hole.
You'll find a pair of pants with light bulbs on them. So I recommend coming across that too. It makes it easier to navigate.
Oh, okay. Is that okay? I don't know what to say about that. That sounds interesting.
It's like something Disco Stew would wear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not quite that fancy. And hopefully when you find a coat and a hat, maybe there's a matching coat and hat, and then you can light up more because it's just the immediate area in front of you. But you can at least see if you're stepping in something you shouldn't be stepping.
Okay. That's not one of the items that fashionista has mentioned. Have you run into this fashionista who marks some X's on your map?
I did. I went and got all three things that she mentioned to check out.
Oh, cool. I tried to, and I've got to 1X, and then I think I went into the cave, but I couldn't find it, and then I got distracted by a shrine, so I'll have to go back into it. But those are different. That's not the pants with the light. It's not one of those things.
No. Yeah, okay. This is a full underground chasm thing, not just a cave.
Right. Okay. Very cool. Wow. Okay. That's exciting. I just can't wait to get back into it. And I found that every day I've had that feeling. I'm just like, finish work. Oh, it's time to play Zelda. Or when can I get back into Hyrule? So it's been, like I said, it's been a really fun week. Trev, did you have any similar, or not similar, but moments of your own that you found most, I don't know, interesting or exciting or different? And also, did you want to tell us how, you kind of did already, but what I loved about the way you play with your wife, it's like tag team, right? It's like, we talked to Justin last week, and he and his wife have each have a copy of the game. And so they're spending their own time in Hyrule. You guys are like helping each other out, What does Jen do during the day that then you come and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow up on this.
She runs around a lot and, she won't do any like story things, but she'll run around and, collect things to cook. She'll collect those bulbs that are used to light up the underground. We haven't found any of those glowy pants, so we've been doing it that way. And she'll mark points of interest. Like I look at the map and like every corner has like light icons or sword icons or...
Do you have a system? Do you know what the icons mean? Does she have like, this means this?
She's usually pretty good at remembering.
Nice.
And sometimes she'll take, snap a photo or do a video.
Oh, cool.
By hitting the record button there on the Switch.
That's so organized.
And when we play together, depending on the challenge, like if it's like I don't want to say a boss, but like a mini boss type enemy, often she'll let me play. And usually, like, if one of us kicks the bucket, usually me trying to do something stupid, he'll take the controller. And then I'll take it back, and I'm like, I think I can climb all this way, and then I run out of stamina and fall. She takes it over. But it works for us, and we're doing the story, together, and a lot of the secondary exploring, kind of individually.
I have to say, when I put down markers of my own, I forget what they mean. And you have two people who do it cohesively and collaboratively. I put something down on like day one and then I went back and I'm like, what is that? What is that I? I think I used the I or I used the, I can't remember what I used, but I'm like, I don't even remember what that was now.
So, a lot of times I'll be like running towards a marker. And like halfway through, I'll be like, no, wait, I wasn't running towards that one. I was supposed to be running towards that one. Like, yeah. I forget.
That happens.
But I usually end up finding something new, you know, like a Korok or.
How many
or something.
How many Korok seeds have you got? You probably have a lot. 60 hours, geez.
Yeah, we get a good amount. Probably not as many as we could because the novelty started to wear off. Those Koroks who are like, I'm separated from my friend because my backpack's full of them.
Yeah.
You know, it was cool at first because it was different from Breath of the Wild. And then after half a dozen, I'm like, oh, I'm not lugging you all the way back there. Forget it.
Yeah. I mean, I only have 12, but I'm happy with that amount. And it's just ones I've randomly found. I like the ones where there's like a flower. You're like, oh, a flower. Go and pick it up. And it moves. Like, oh, yeah. It moved over there. So you follow it, yep. And eventually it ends, and it's a little Korok. And there was one. It looked like a red flower, but more like one of those things that you blow into that spins. I don't know what it's called. And that
pinwheel.
A pinwheel. Yes, it was like a pinwheel. I think it looked like that. And then a series of balloons appeared, and to shoot them all, and then a Korok appeared. So that was cool. Yeah, Kirk, sounds like you've done that or something.
Yeah, I think
that.
There are a couple. I think you'll run into a few of those.
Yeah, there was one, I was walking through just like a brief tunnel. It wasn't a cave. It was just part of the land, and it kind of went over my head. And on the ceiling, there was some weird symbol, like looked like a plant of some sort. I'm like, oh, that's strange. So I just ascended through it, and a Korok came. So I'm like, oh, that was an easy one. that was fun. I'm like, if you didn't walk through that tunnel, you just wouldn't see it or get it. So it's very random, extremely random. And there was even one, I remember it was up near Hyrule Castle. I fell down. I was trying to climb up like you, Trevor. I was like, oh, I can climb that. I didn't. And I fell. And I didn't realize there was a hole. And I fell down the hole, and there was a little, like a little Rubik's Cube kind of thing, like a cube of blocks that were not put together. And you put them together, and then a Korok appeared. So that was fun. So, yeah, it's all fun and games and adventure and discovery. So, I mean, it sounds like we're having a pretty fun time. Do you want to sort of say, let's maybe compare it to our experience with Breath of the Wild? So for me, Breath of the Wild, I haven't played for a couple of years, and I want your thoughts on this because I've seen some reviews saying, oh, these are kind of user reviews. You know, oh, I spent over 100 hours in Breath of the Wild. I really can't be bothered spending another 100 hours in a game that's so similar. And I wonder what you guys thought about that comment, because it is the same world. It is a direct sequel. We know that. I think personally it's different enough. And it's, for me, it's been a few years since I've played Breath of the Wild, but what do you think? Maybe Kirk, do you want to start?
I think I don't want to disparage anybody's opinions, but that's just goofy. You know, do you not play the next Mario Kart because you're still just racing carts around a track?
Right.
Do you not play another Madden because it's still just football?
Mm-hmm. Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I guess if you feel that the 140 hours you put into Breath of the Wild were wasted, then to me that makes sense. But no, I would much rather, I mean, I love my time in Breath of the Wild, and if I'm doing something new within the same area, fine. It's not like it's the exact same game or a new game plus or something like that. It's a whole new game with different things going on and repeating the type of things that I did in the previous game to me is fine because they're working towards a different end and the puzzles are new and fresh and it all feels new, even though it's in the same place.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds true. I agree with that. And I actually found another question for you, I suppose. I found this harder. I've died a lot more initially in my first 20 hours than I think I did in Breath of the Wild from memory. Have you similar experience, do you find? Or is it just we're just trying stuff out a lot more. I find the enemies are a bit harder. Or maybe my weapons, maybe it's because the weapons are all decayed in this version of the world and they are weaker. I don't know. But you fuse them. I try to make them stronger. I don't know. I feel like I have some good weapons. But anyway, Trev, what do you think about that comment?
Well, it's interesting. When I first got down from the sky into Hyrule, you know, those first few hours, I'm like, okay, I can see why this is more like Breath of the Wild 1.5. Like, I never viewed it as some extremists would be like, oh, it's basically DLC. No, it's far too different. There's far too much of it. But I did view it initially like a 1.5 because I'm like, oh, we're running through the same areas. Of course, this is before I started doing the quest proper and, you know, started discovering differences in the landscape and just, you know, different enemies and different, you know, characters and things like that. I suppose it depends on your approach because there is, you know, if you hated like the destructible weapons, this game still has them. If you hated trying to climb in the rain, this game still has it. You know, if a lot of those things, if they didn't win you over initially, they're probably not going to win you over here. But for me, once I discovered the underground, and I don't know how much you guys have done down there, but once I discovered just how vast that was for me, that's what cemented Tears of the Kingdom as, you know, a full-fledged sequel and not just, you know, Breath of the Wild with a new coat of paint.
Yeah.
So I get those comments, but I would suggest for people who think that, you know, just play more, hang in there. And as you start to discover these things, some of those initial feelings will drop by the wayside.
Yeah. Maybe they've only spent, I mean, I've spent 20 hours, but I still haven't discovered the underground. I mean, I'm not thinking it's 1.5, but maybe those people haven't spent enough time and it's their first impressions. So yeah, it's good advice. Keep going because it is vastly different. And I can't wait to discover the underground, actually. I don't know if that counts what you've got going, Kirk, with the eyeball business. Does that count as underground or is that different? It's like a mission.
Yeah, that's part of the underground. There are, and I don't think we're giving anything away. You know, Trevor mentioned how vast it is. Mm-hmm. The underground kind of spreads for a huge area. So there are different entrance points. And I think they're all connected. I've gone into two different areas and they're really far removed. It looks like eventually I could get them connected and get from one to the other underground.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, I think they're just different ways in.
Yep. I am very excited to find that. I really am. Speaking of degrading weapons and that sort of thing that you mentioned, Trev, I'm finding I typically have enough weapons on board and I usually find one and I don't have room for it, so I swap it out or whatever, or fuse it if I can. But I am finding it harder to cook. I'm finding fewer cooking stations around. I don't know if that's a problem you've encountered. I know you can make those little Zonai ones that are temporary, but they only cook one thing. But I haven't in the last few days when I've been wandering, seeking shrines and Empire and whatever else I'm doing, I haven't seen any. Have you guys had this problem or not? Is it just me?
I had the exact same thought. I see a lot of campfires, but like actual cooking pots are. I think that there should be more.
Yeah, I've noticed a lack of cooking pots. Yeah, Trev, did you find this or not really?
Well, as I mentioned in one of the past podcasts, Jen usually does the cooking.
That's right.
But typically, I think we kind of think of it when we get to like a stable. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, here's a stable. We can, you know, there's always a shrine by the stable. So let's activate the shrine. Let's do some cooking. And I feel like she's been doing a lot of it. Because to your point, Gemma, I do think this game is harder.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly like the shrines. Like I felt like Breath of the Wild really did a good job at kind of weaning you in. You know, the shrines were maybe initially it was just one puzzle. Or, you know, one combat challenge. But a lot of these shrines, we've activated them, but we haven't beaten them just because, this is more involved than I thought. So, which kind of but then necessitates the need for more food because it's like, these enemies are wiping me out. And part of that's my fault because, of course, if I'm not doing shrines, I'm not getting hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, of course, I want stamina too. So you try to balance that. But, we're cooking less dubious food, I've noticed.
Well, that's good. That's interesting. Yeah. The shrines have been good. I found the puzzles quite interesting, and some are quite taxing, like on the brain. They're like, oh, this is, how do I do this? I'm really enjoying some of them. Even actually my son did one for me, which I was like, I can't do it. How are you going to do it? And he just did it. I'm like, oh, thanks. Nice. So it saved me the problem. I can't remember.
I do want to mention with the cooking, and this is probably a minor spoiler, but when you do discover the underground, it's at least initially it's pitch black, and unless you got the glowy pants Kirk's talking about, the only way we were getting light. What's that?
No, I was gonna, don't count on the glowing pants. I may have overstated the value of those. They help a little bit, but they're not lighting your way.
So before we discovered like those glowing bulbs that you find in the caves, those plants, I can't remember their name. The only way we were getting light is we had food cooked that was infused with like a glowing effect. And of course, eventually you'll discover ways to light it up and it's like, wow, this is way better, you know, because we probably did it before we were meant to, just because we're stubborn like that. But I definitely will try to, in any food we do, I'd like to infuse abilities, whether it's stamina food or glowing food or food that's anti-electricity, whatever the case. It feels like a waste if you do food just for hearts.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I only do that if it's random. Like, oh, this one will give me heat or whatever, heat resistance. Thanks, spicy peppers.
Yeah, we did a lot of that too before we got certain outfits.
Yeah, well, I'd forgotten because I had, the whatever the pants are that sort of are heat resistant from the initial, the Sky Island that you start on. And then I hadn't dealt with snow until yesterday. I came up to, it was on the way to the forest, Forgotten Temple. And I was climbing up a mountain and suddenly the temperature dropped. I'm like, oh, why am I cold? Oh, that's right. I don't have the pants on that I need. So I had to swap them back out. And I was trying to get to the top. I don't think you can switch pants on while you're climbing, right? So I was trying to get to the top to change my pants and my, you know, hearts are depleting. And then I tried to, you know, jump to reach the end and I missed. So I fell back down. I'm like, oh my gosh, come on. And change my pants and then go back up again.
We call that disaster pants.
Yeah, that's suitable. Yeah, but it's so much fun. It's so big and I haven't even really not even scratched the surface because I haven't been underground. I've only sort of discovered one of these geoglyphs. So maybe let's talk about that without being too spoilerish, but I assume we've all seen Impa, or maybe we haven't. Have we all met Impa?
Yeah.
Yes?
I have not, which sounds shocking given all the hours we put in, but
yeah. That's what makes this game so good, though, I think. You can spend 60 hours just roaming and discovering things. And you've already discovered the underground, so you have – that's a different path you've taken to me. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've done a lot down there. I was aware of Impa because one of the characters, I think, mentioned her, but not yet.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's really fun. I won't give away too much what happens there, but the geoglyphs are the big kind of – what do you call them? I don't know, like crop circles.
Yeah, they're like alien crops.
It's like the Nazca lines, like in the ground, like the glowy.
Yeah, patterns. And so they have a meaning, and it's part of finding Zelda, I suppose. And yeah, let's just leave it at that, I guess. I don't want to be too spoilerish, but I'm slowly finding out Zelda's memories, so that's interesting. I've only had one so far. Kirk, you said you've had one or two, did you say? Three?
Yeah, I have memories of – I have memories of multiple memories, I guess.
Okay.
But I've only found one of the – one of the tiers, so I'm not sure. It's possible I'm confusing them watching my son play, or there are other ways to get them beyond just the tiers. I've only found one of those within the glyph.
Yeah, because Impa definitely said we had to find tears, and I feel like she's marked 4 initially on my map, I think. I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway.
Yeah, she did set up 4 areas you had to go to. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So, yeah, I've done one of those. I'm going to get to the next one. Let's talk about the news that came out this week, which was the sales data from Nintendo, which was pretty huge. Kirk wrote up a nice little piece on the website about it. 10 million copies was sold. Was that over the first weekend? Is that what the report said?
I think it was the first 3 days.
3 days, yeah. Right. 3 days, yeah. Which is amazing. And so that broke a record. I think it was – so it's the fastest selling Zelda title. Correct me if I'm wrong. And it's the fastest selling Switch game or in the US? Or is it Zelda game in the US? No, Switch game in the US.
Yeah, I think it was Switch.
Yeah.
Which yeah, is I think it topped what was it before? It was Pokemon Scarlet or Violet.
Yeah.
I think it
topped those. Yeah. So that's really impressive. And I guess it goes to show we've been talking in the lead up to this game's release how much hype there was and how much anticipation and, you know, Nintendo's marketing, how they kept it very, very close to their chest until very close to the release when they kind of released the final trailer and we had the gameplay not that long before the release as well. So I think, I mean, I guess that marketing worked, but also I think people just really wanted this game. and it goes to show that Breath of the Wild, everyone, you know, generally speaking, it was well received. It was very popular. I had friends who were never Zelda fans or players who loved this game. So I can only imagine these people and more were after Tears of the Kingdom. Then you've got people like Justin buying two copies, so that helps as well. So, yeah, what are your thoughts about this sort of momentous number? I know you said in your article, Kirk, you thought it would continue, and I know we've also thought – we've kind of speculated previously about whether those sales would drop off initially or how that would go. What do you think? Maybe Trev, what do you think?
It's – I mean, what can you say with a number like that? That's it's almost hard to wrap your head around because you think of prior to Breath of the Wild, you know, what was the biggest seller? It was like Ocarina of Time or Link's Awakening, one of those. And, you know, you're talking, you know, what, like 6 million maybe over the life of the game. And here we are, you know, almost double that. In 3 days.
Yeah.
That's mind boggling. And for me, it just, you know, it feels like people have been talking about like Switch Pro for years and years. And it's like, Nintendo knows what they're doing. They can move, you know, how many copies of a game on Switch hardware, how many new Switches sold, how many people bought the Zelda, you know, bundle or pro controller or whatever. I don't know, but it's, yeah, you know, it's crazy to think about. And, you know, will Tears of the Kingdom ultimately, will it surpass Breath of the Wild? Will it, you know, surpass like Animal Crossing? Will it get up to like Mario Kart numbers? I don't know. But even if it didn't sell another copy, like we're recording this on the 20th, even if it stopped all sales today, it would still be a success.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's to think about.
It is. It is nuts. And what? So Breath of the Wild was about 29 million, I think, so far over the lifetime. And, you know, this might boost some sales of that too. If people play this and hadn't played Breath of the Wild, they might go back and get Breath of the Wild. But it seems like, I mean, if this is already a third of Breath of the Wild in 3 days. Yeah. I do wonder also.
It's $10 yeah. more. And yeah. people obviously don't yeah. care.
Yeah, exactly. Inflation. But, I mean, it's been 6 years. And before we get to your thoughts on this, Kirk, I think I just wanted to – no, I've lost my train of thought. Let's go to you, Kirk. What do you think of these sales numbers and what it means, I suppose, for the future maybe? Or
I think they're fantastic. I do expect that – I did, as I mentioned in the article, that you know, those are going to drop. Like a whole lot of people who want this game, of course, are going to get it on opening weekend. Mm-hmm. So after that initial push, the numbers drop off, and then we're – waiting to see, okay, some people are waiting for reviews. Other people are just getting their first Switch. They're just coming of age. You know, the sales will continue. But the one thing that I think is really going to help this a lot are the fact that you can build so many things in this Lego style, put together the various contraptions that you're using to get from here to there, and then upload them onto social media. Because there are so many incredible videos that are out there now of these things people are coming up with. There was one, I can't remember where I saw it, but somebody had built like mech, basically like the Japanese, what's the show? I can't remember. Well,
like
the
Robotech or something.
Yeah, like that kind of thing. And it had fans on the back and there were arms and legs and it was flying around and shooting.
Oh my gosh.
Laser. Yeah, it was fantastic.
And that's cool.
And people are going to continue doing that. It's kind of like the same with Breath of the Wild, where 5 years down the road, somebody has discovered something new or found a way to shoot up into this. And they upload it. It goes viral. Everybody's watching it. Now people are hopping on to Breath of the Wild again to try that themselves.
Yeah.
I think the same thing's going to happen here, where the constant influx of these videos of the creations people are putting together are going to continue to drive sales. We're finally 6 months down the road, someone's going to say, enough. This looks pretty cool. I got to get this game.
Yeah.
And Nintendo doesn't have to pay a dime for any of it.
Yeah, true.
No advertising money going into this at all. They're going to let the fans take care of the advertising of the game.
Yeah. That's pretty clever. Yeah.
My only potential worry with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom doing these monster sales is I hope, as much as I enjoy these games, I hope we don't see the last of the classic traditional Zelda formula. And, you know, I'm hoping whether it's through remakes or an outright new game that those can coexist. You know, I want games like Tears of the Kingdom, open world, but I love a linear adventure like Skyward Sword. I love a top-down game like Link's Awakening. I want Zelda so big. I want all these styles of Zelda games to coexist. So I hope they don't just look at the sales numbers and be like, this is what people want, because I think there's room for all of them.
Absolutely. I was definitely going to ask you about that as part of the future, I suppose, of the series, because I agree exactly. I love the top downs as well. My favorite is my favorite style really is that top down style. A Link to the Past is one of my favorite games ever, and I agree. I would hate to see the end of that, and I think for me, even though this is a brilliant game and I love it, and I'm going to spend a lot of time in this world, I wouldn't necessarily want the next Zelda game to be another, like a third in the series. I would like them to do something different, preferably back to that top-down kind of old school feeling, you know, linear style game.
Yeah.
And I was thinking before the show, you know, this is a 100 plus hour game, Breath of the Wild's 100 plus hour game, and that's fine. And these games have their place, but possibly we need to have other games that aren't necessarily as lengthy, you know, the top down ones generally aren't 100 hour games, right?
I agree.
You know, yeah. So I think you need to intersperse them between each other. And I really hope that's on their forward plan, I suppose. So, yeah.
I mean, I think about it, like, what if I wasn't sick this week? How much time would I have put in to the game? I think like Justin, who had like work meetings, a busy week, he's only put in a few hours. I mean, we're adults. We have, you know, families, we have, you know, spouses or kids or you know, our day jobs and not to mention our, you know, articles we're writing for Pure Nintendo. And you need something, you need like a palate cleanser after this, because this is so big.
Maybe
a 20-hour Zelda adventure. And, you know, I'll have fun with it. I'll replay it. I mean, the original NES game, if you know what you're doing, you could beat that in a couple hours.
Yeah,
doesn't make
true.
It any less fun for me.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I totally agree with that. And I mean, yeah, so 20 hours this week for me, that was pretty much as I could squeeze into my week with work and kids and stuff. So, you know, I don't know how. I mean, I know people have different situations and circumstances, but I mean, yeah, how do you fit in 100 hours? It's going to take me, you know, a few months really to get through this title. So. Which is good in a way. That's great. I've got something to play for a few months. But like you said, there's other articles to write. There's other games to review. So you got to balance it a little bit. It's huge. And I am excited to see what comes next. I don't want to think too far ahead because this has just come out. But I think we always kind of speculate and think ahead, especially in 2023. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a really good point. Kirk, do you have any thoughts on that? The future of Zelda, I suppose. I mean, would you, and even speculating, do you think Nintendo would, given these sales, do you think they would continue this, you know, could they get away with a third game in the series? Or do you think they need to really depart from that kind of formula.
I think they could. I think like the reason why I'm looking forward to this game, and now that I'm in it, I'm having a good time, is because I'm 5 years removed from the previous game. So if they came out with another one of these games within a year, I would be so overloaded, I probably wouldn't even start it right away. So, I completely agree that like the smaller, more linear adventures, I think there's room for that. Maybe if they wanted to do a third Breath of the Wild style game, then maybe they could go back to the others by giving us offshoot games that play like them. Mm-hmm. But maybe different, like they're Zelda style games, but we're not controlling Link. It's somebody else, or there's like a side game or something. It still fits in the universe, but doesn't, you know, if Nintendo is really pushing to, this is the brand now, this is what you get when you're going to play Legend of the Zelda game, then give us something else in between that's a bit smaller that doesn't sully the brand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a cool thought. I'd love the idea of side quests using different characters. That'd be really fun. Yeah, I wonder if we've settled on, you know, is this the evolution of the series? You know, we've seen, you know, Ocarina of Time, Wind Waker, lots of different styles over the years, you know, 35-year history, or 36, isn't it now, to draw from. And is this where we've ended up? Is this the kind of ultimate version of The Legend of Zelda that Nintendo's going to stick with? I mean, they'll have to change things up, I guess, over the next, who knows, 10, 20 years. Imagine a virtual reality version of The Legend of Zelda where you immerse yourself in Hyrule. I mean, that would be...
Well, they've always adapted it to the hardware too. I mean, like Ocarina of Time was such a, you know, it almost had that overwhelming feeling this had back in the day, because this 3D world, we hadn't really experienced anything like that. And then, you know, obviously with the Wii and the motion controls, you know, for Skyward Sword, and then, you know, they've always kind of taken advantage of the hardware, whether it's, you know, HD visuals or 3D visuals or whatever the case may be. So who knows what they're going to do with Switch 2 or Switch Pro or whatever, you know, they decide to name it on. I'm sure they'll find some, I hate to say gimmick, because that maybe can have a negative connotation. I don't think it is in this case, but what feature they're going to use to make this Zelda game unique.
Feature is a more positive word. Yes, it is a bit of a gimmick, but only because it is a unique feature that stands it apart from other consoles. That's what it's about. That's a good point as well. And I think, to your point, Kirk, about the time between games, I completely agree. I did read a comment. Someone was saying, oh, if this game was released, you know, 2 years after Breath of the Wild, I would have loved it a lot more. And I'm thinking, really? Why? I think this is a great amount of time. If it was so close, we wouldn't have had time for it. And I think they were talking more about the visual side of things. They're like, it hasn't improved visually, or it hasn't, you know, it's too, it looks, I don't know where they were going with that comment, to be honest. It just seemed odd, or maybe goofy, like you said earlier. I think 6 years is it's a long time between games in a series, not necessarily for Zelda. We kind of have these breaks from time to time, don't we? We're used to that. And I think they needed that time to, well, I mean, look at the world. I mean, how could they, I don't even know how they built this thing. Like, there must have been such a big team of people behind it. You know, from hiding the seeds to developing the whole underground section, the geoglyphs, the Sky Islands, there's just so much going on. I mean, kudos to Nintendo's development team for just creating this world for us to enjoy, honestly. But yeah, if it came out so soon afterwards, I think, like you said, we just wouldn't have had time for it. But it does lead me to a question about the visuals. I've seen some comments from some sort of negative people saying it's, you know, the frame rate's dropping out, or it's not, you know, visually different enough from Breath of the Wild. What do we think about that? I mean, I didn't have any issues with it personally, but Trev, do you have any comments on the visual side of things?
I've said this before in past podcasts or whatnot, so for any pure Nintendo Koopalings who have been following us, this may sound familiar, but it is worth repeating. You know, as an older, we're all older gamers, you know, we're all, you know, middle age or whatever. So I grew up, I remember back in the day, I bought a game and they had bold on the cover, 24 frames per second. And that was a selling point. Nowadays, right. A game at 24 would be considered unplayable, you know, quote, by the masses. You know, even 30 is, people gripe about that. You know, they're like 60 is the new minimum. I've never cared about frame rate. A frame rate has to be like single digits before it bothers me. And even then, it depends maybe on the genre. You know, a racing game is different from like an adventure game. So I don't think I could care less.
Mm-hmm.
But I often see it trending on Twitter, you know, 30 frames per second, 60 frames per second. A lot of people, maybe they grew up playing PC games, or maybe they're just really young. Mm-hmm. You know, they will say, you know, a game can be unplayable at 30. And, you know, they may honestly believe it. Some of them are trolls. You know, they may they may genuinely think that. That's not something I can understand, but I acknowledge it's out there. For me, this game looks really good. It runs really good. I haven't had any complaints. And but then again, I'm not the type who would for frame rate or whatnot. So I'm just grateful that I grew up when I did. Because maybe if I was a younger gamer, you know, growing up where frame rate was so emphasized, maybe that's the mentality I would have. So I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful I don't.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think I'm the same. I don't really care unless it's super noticeable. I couldn't tell, honestly. And I know there are ways you can measure it and you can get a number that spits out at you. And maybe they're doing that and it's more like, oh, this is giving me 20 or 30 frame rate, you know, frames per second here. And they're just using that as an excuse to say this game is not well designed. Does it really affect things? Like if you didn't measure it, if you didn't actually actively look for that, would it impede your gaming enjoyment? I don't know. Kirk, do you have an opinion on this, visuals in general or frame rates?
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you can get your game to run it at 60 or whatever it is that these people are pushing for, then great, do it. But to me, that's one of the last things I'm going to look for in a game. If you're coming in at 30, it's playable. It looks good. You know, that's how we're watching the majority of our TV shows are coming in at 30 films, you know, for the most part. Unless they're being like the Lord of the Rings movies are coming in. What is it? 27? Is that the official frame? 27.4 frames per second or something like that. So that's fine. The one thing about this game that I wish they had found a way to get around was the lack of black in it. I have an OLED TV or a QLED. It's a Samsung QLED and it gets me really good solid blacks. And I've grown used to that. And this game uses like a lot of like light grays, that the characters themselves up front have very good color definition. But beyond that, and I'm assuming it makes it easier to get us the frame rate we want and to show us more in the distance by lowering the number of colors that we're getting. So by not going to a pure black, we have fewer colors and it's able to keep that up. Again, I could be completely wrong. Someone's more than you could correct me on this for sure. But I do notice that it's a very gray game as opposed to a black game.
Interesting. Yeah, I have an OLED as well.
You've got to spend more time underground if you're looking for that.
Well, that's true. Yeah, there's an awful lot of black underground.
Yeah, I'm interested to see.
Black. There's no fade to it. It's empty.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's a really good point. I haven't noticed that myself, but I maybe wouldn't notice that. and I haven't been underground, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that,
Gemma, you got to do that. So next week we can talk about it more. It's just, I don't want to spoil nothing or oversell it, but it's just so much bigger than I could have ever imagined.
And you don't have the camera then yet, do you, Gemma? If you didn't go down to, that's how you get the camera the first time.
Oh, no. No, someone mentioned taking photos of something. In fact, Impa mentioned that in the Forgotten Temple. She's like, you might want to take a photo of this because there's a map of Hyrule with
Was Impa connected to the camera?
No, but she said maybe I take a photo.
Yeah, she just, Or maybe she was talking in real life. She was suggesting you bust out your phone and grab a picture of the TV so you can refer to it later.
I mean, I took a screenshot.
It's very helpful.
Like, yeah, I'm like, worldly. Oh, thanks, Empire. I guess I'll take a screenshot, I guess. So I don't have a camera. Yeah, I could have taken my phone out, I suppose, but no, I just took a screenshot. Yeah, I didn't even know there was a camera. I think, although Zelda did have a camera right at the very beginning, didn't she? She was taking photos of things under the castle, so that makes sense.
Yeah, because I was amused because her camera still made that fake camera sound that they put on like iPhones and such, so we're comfortable with it, even though there's literally no reason for that sound to be there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. What a nice touch. Yeah, no, I'll have to do that. Okay, I have so much to do. Oh my gosh, it's so big. It's so fun. I can't wait to get back into it. It's just amazing. I was even playing a little bit last night before bed. I got home. I went out. I got home. It was like 11. I'm like, oh, I really need to go to bed because it's, for me, this is morning. I'm doing podcast recording in the morning over in Australia. Excuse me. And I still had to play a little bit because I was at the Forgotten Temple. I just wanted to finish the shrine that was there and deal with Impa. So I'm like, yeah, I'll just quickly do that before bed. And I try not to get distracted and do something else. Yeah, it's that's what it's like. And you just want to do more. And there's always one more thing to do. There's just always something new to do. So it's great. It's just fantastic, really, isn't it? So, you know, I think we've really enjoyed this week with this game, and we've got so much more to enjoy. What else would we like to say before we close off the episode? Do we have any kind of final thoughts we want to give to listeners or to each other about any other aspects of the game? Maybe Kirk, do you have anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I think going back to what we were talking about with maybe exploring too much and getting off the beaten path somewhat, that's interesting to me because I kind of – there are two ways to look at that. My son, for example, has just been hitting every shrine he possibly can because the first thing he wanted to do was jack up his stamina so that when he does get launched up into the air, he can go wherever he wants. He's already got that full, and I think he may have 5 hearts.
Wow, yeah.
I found that when I was doing that, I was maybe encountering too many enemies that I wasn't prepared to meet. Mm-hmm. So I figured, all right, I'm going to go back, play some story elements, gain some experience, maybe get access to some abilities that I wouldn't have otherwise that would help me beat these guys. So I would suggest making sure you find that balance between wild exploration and pushing the story along, because you do want to make sure you kind of stay balanced and you're not completely frustrated going up against enemies that you're not prepared to go up against.
Yeah. It's very hard to walk past a group of enemies, and there's some giant enemies in there.
Oh yeah. See them right away.
Yeah. And you're like, ooh, should I sneak past? I really want to fight him. And I do most of the time I do and die at least once. Do I do it again? Yeah, let's give another go.
I got a funny story along those thoughts.
Yeah.
So without spoiling too much, I was in an underground area and I saw this treasure chest and I'm like, ooh. And as I approached it, the doors locked and I was surrounded by enemies. And it was probably an area I wasn't meant to be in at that point. So I took out a few and then I died. But then the game, auto-save reloaded me in that room.
Yep.
And of course you can go back to a prior, save. So it's not the end of the world, but, me being stubborn and wanted to do it legit, tried a few more times, and then I'm like, I got to climb out of here. So I'm like flying up the wall and they're chucking like rocks and debris at me. And of course I only have a few hearts because to Kirk's point, I'm not balanced. You know, I haven't done that many shrines and I only have so much stamina. So I'm like, I got to get to the top of this wall before I die. And I finally escaped with like half a heart and I'm like doubled over catching my breath. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, I really, and I told Jen, I'm like, we're not meant to be here. We gotta go up back up to the surface and try to do some things we've skipped over. So there's just so much game, and even 60 hours in, I feel like I've just scratched the surface. Like I haven't done much in the sky. I haven't done a whole lot of, building things. I haven't been sticking wheels to everything, like Kurt mentioned. So
yeah,
there's a lot I want to do, and
Yeah.
Only so many hours in the day.
Yeah, exactly. I did. That was one of my first experiences when I got to Hyrule. I was wandering around and I think it was near one of the stables somewhere. There's a river and a bridge and I crossed the bridge and there was a cave there. It was my first Hyrule cave as opposed to the ones in the sky that I'd already done. And I was ambushed. There were these creatures and I don't know what they're called, but they're hanging off the roof and they're like walking on the roof, like with four legs or whatever. And there's like blue versions and yellow versions. And they just charged at me and they just took me out. And I tried arrowing them with fire or whatever. And I got a few, but they just like, they had really strong weapons. So once they landed on the ground, because they kind of jumped down and they one-shotted me, like they hit me with whatever sword or whatever they were holding. And it just took me out. I think I only had four hearts at that point. So I was like, oh, okay. And I did it again and again. Again and again, and I finally did beat them, and I did get a treasure chest of something. I can't remember what it was now, some weapon, I think. But it was, yeah, it's it's so hard sometimes, and I probably should have run away and leveled up a bit more, but I did it, and it's a stubborn thing. You just want to beat these things.
That's true.
Yeah, and also I'm just like, unless I mark it and remember what my marker means, I'm probably never going to be here again because it's just, I mean, it is near a stable, so I probably could return, but I haven't been back to that area since then, you know, 10 hours later. So, yeah, I don't know.
Do you guys even have horses yet?
I have. I've got two. And I was going to ask that question as well. Do you prefer to travel by horse or not? Because sometimes it's faster, but also sometimes it's annoying because you got to get off your horse and then you go wandering and then you lose your horse. And I know you can whistle, but it's like, oh, where's my horse? I don't know.
We finally got one.
Yeah? Okay.
He was took a while to tame him. He was pretty out of control, but
yeah.
Yeah. More often than not, I just run around. Not that I dislike the horses. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah. I like the idea of the horses and I like, you know, making friends with them and patting them, you know, and they have the hearts come out. I like that. It's almost like a, feels very Japanese, like anime. I don't know. It feels like Pokemon, you know, like giving them some love and they love you back. It's like you're becoming friends with the animals. I like that. I wish you could pat the dogs. You can't pat the dogs. Why can't I pat dogs? I don't know why.
Well, you can feed the dogs. I don't know. Do dogs like to be pet or fed more? I don't know. I'll try with mine tonight and see what gets me the best response.
Yeah, probably food, but I don't know. They like both. I didn't know you could feed them. What do you feed them? Just raw meat or something?
Yeah, whatever. And if you feed them enough, they'll lead you to some interesting things.
Yeah, that's true. They
that's cool.
Hang around you.
I didn't know that. I did get attacked by a wolf randomly. In fact, it was when I was visiting my first president, what's his name, signpost guy.
Hudson.
Yeah, President Hudson, signpost man, a wolf. I was on my way to this person building this signpost and a wolf just randomly attacked me. I'm like, what the, where did you come from? And he ran away. And I'm like, okay, see ya. That was strange. What do you think, Kirk? Trev, who's given our final thoughts already? Kirk has. Trev, have you? That was kind of your final thoughts, wasn't it? That's
I don't remember now. Just such a big game. I feel like we could be doing podcasts on this game, you know, probably the next month or so, you know, leading into summer.
Yeah. I hope. I mean, I almost hope there's nothing too big to talk about Nintendo-wise so that we can keep talking about this.
I just hope people listen to us because I know some people are worried about spoilers and, you know, we're trying to be good about that. But, of course, there's mild spoilers. So, thank you for those who are listening to us and tell your friends. We're trying to be light on spoilers.
Yes, I'll put something in the description to make sure that's clear. Good point. Thank you, Trev. But yes, thank you, listeners. We love talking about all things Nintendo and obviously The Legend of Zelda. So we hope you've enjoyed the show. We would love your feedback, so please leave us a review or like us and subscribe to us on YouTube. We also put out a bi-monthly magazine, so you can support us over at patreon.com/purenintendo. We're currently working on our next issue, which I believe is going to feature Pikmin 4, which is the next big release from Nintendo. So look out for that. And any final thoughts from anybody else before we say goodbye?
Nope. Get back at it. Build big cars and drive over people.
Yes, we just hope you're enjoying it as much as we are. It's so much fun. But thank you for listening and thank you both for joining me again today. I look forward to talking to you during the week about our Zelda adventures. And until next week, game on, everybody.